on September 11, 2001, and in the months that followed, while thousands ran from and avoided the dangers and horrors of the radical Islamic attacks on the World Trade Center, as well as the Pentagon, the first responders did their duty and ran toward the scene of this disaster. The price that they have paid for their dedication has been illness and even death. In 2010, a bill was passed which created a health and compensation program for the September 11th first responders. That program is now close to ending. While the need for health care is as required today as it was when the law was passed 5 years ago, joining us now to discuss the health impact on September 11th first responders and the need for this health care program to continue is the health and safety officer for DC 37 of Ask Me, which is part of the coalition making up the Citizens for the Extension of the James Zadroga Act. We say good morning to Gila Mejia. Good morning, Gila.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you for having me here.
And the website is renew911health.org. And a lot of people might be surprised that when this act was passed back in 2010, as I mentioned, it wasn't permanent. It had a time limit on it, and it was passed, well, just out of, I guess, fear of negative PR by the leaders in Congress. Did they think that after 5 years it would be a cure for cancer? I mean, where was the logic behind that?
We certainly were looking for a permanent bill, although we worked really hard at getting that, we had to accept the five-year bill, knowing that we would have another battle ahead of us. So, the rationale, I'm not really sure why they would only extend it for 5 years. Certainly, as you said, cancers don't end after 5 years. Illnesses don't go away after 5 years. In fact, the population is getting more sick. We're back at Congress trying to get the renewal.
I had heard one report, and there's a whole host of studies and statistics over at the website, renew911health.org, that just shows you the severity of the impact on the first responders at not just that day, but the subsequent months and even years. Have had, that's a best guess, a variety of 60 types of cancers have impacted the first responders now?
Yes. We have over 2,000 responders who have been diagnosed with cancers that are related to their exposures. Overall, we have about 62,000 responders who are receiving medical monitoring just to monitor against any emerging illnesses. We have about 8,400 survivors who are receiving medical treatment for their injuries. At least there are about 33,000 responders and survivors that have at least one condition, and over two-thirds of those have more than one condition. So it's a very sick population. And certainly if the program is not extended or reauthorized, many of these folks are going to, lose out on the safety net that has been created. And they're going to be scrambling to try to pay for the medical care.
And as far as in the House, it's H.R. 1786, in the Senate, S-928, if you want to look it up. As far as the original bill versus this current bill that's up for, I don't think it's even been posted from what I've been hearing, Speaker John Boehner is not exactly eager to post this up for a vote yet.
No, we're not even there yet, which is one of the reasons we have been trying to increase the number of co-sponsors, both in the House and in the Senate bill. And we currently have 173 co-sponsors for the House bill, H.R. 1786. That's a huge number. And we need 218 votes out of the House. And for the Senate bill, S-928, we have about 46 senators that have signed on. So, our objective is to get as many members of Congress to sign on and hopefully force that vote so that we could just move on and ensure that people continue to receive the treatment that they so rightfully deserve.
As far as that initial bill I was going to ask before, as far as the initial bill versus this current one that's hoping to get on the calendar, is there any significant difference as opposed to, well, again, I've heard mixed reports. Is this going to make it a permanent program? Or I saw a couple of reports that said it would sunset in, I think the year was 2041.
We're looking for a permanent program, obviously. And I think that the bill that was written looks at 30 years. So that may be where you're getting the 2041.
Okay.
But we are looking for a permanent program. You know, the reality is that the program eventually will at some point phase out because the population will be reduced.
Hopefully, after a long, healthy life, as opposed to the namesake of the act who passed away at 34 years old. He was the first listed official death as a consequence of the result of what he breathed in at Ground Zero.
That's
James
right.
Zadroga.
There was a causal relationship there between the exposures and the illness. It was very clear that his death was as a result of those multiple exposures to the toxins in the air. So.
Talking with Gia Mejia from the Citizens for the Extension of the James Zadroga Act. You can learn more about this at renew911health.org and lend your support in a variety of ways, certainly by spreading the website and this information that we're talking about here and that they present on their website and social media. That's one way you can do. And certainly contact her if you're listening in here in New Jersey, which I think in the House, all but one member of the New Jersey congressional group is in support of this. And if you're listening on the stream, certainly contact your local member of Congress in the House and the Senate to get them on board to make sure this is a done deal. Again, it's renew911health.org. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. The as far as what kind of cost would the people, the victims and the people who are ill, wind up incurring? I can imagine it must be in the billions of dollars for given the severity of some of these illnesses.
Well, of course. I mean, anyone who has had cancer knows that the treatments are very expensive. Sometimes there's hospitalization. Sometimes there are medications that are not normally covered. They're thought of as experimental type. So it is going to have a major financial impact on many of these responders and survivors. And one of the problems is that there is no one really knows the direct impact. I mean, you have to look at the different types of benefits that they have, whether they have health insurance, whether they have union insurance, whether they have pharmaceutical coverage as part of this insurance. And so it's very difficult. Each person is different, and every situation is different. So trying to coordinate all of these types of insurance is a burden to an individual who is already sick, who is already stressed out, trying to deal with their daily lives and trying to just live in general.
And certainly, to have a program such as this, where the healthcare, the financing of the healthcare process is streamlined and more focused, as opposed to the nightmare that the insurance industry is all about, that's just a headache that these men and women and their families do not deserve to have to go through. I know the Gia mentioned some of these stats here, and I'll repeat them because they're worthy of your understanding them and embracing and appreciating them. There are 8,485 participating in the national program that provides medical treatment and monitoring of 9/11 responders, 63,000 responders receiving medical monitoring, safeguard any emerging industries, injuries rather, a lot of cases, a lot of these afflictions lie dormant in somebody even after all this time, and something could just be a catalyst and all of a sudden there's an affliction that can be traced back to the work at Ground Zero. Over 22,000 9/11 responders, survivors saw treatment last year. 33,000 responders have at least one 9/11 condition. Over two-thirds have more than one condition. Large number of those, multiple injuries, illnesses. And more than 4,166 responders and survivors have been certified to have a 9/11-related cancer, of which over 1,100 are New York City firefighters, EMS personnel. Those were the men and women, as I said in the introduction, who ran toward where everything was happening, as everyone was naturally running away to try to get to safety. And they deserve a lot more than bureaucratic BS, which is what they're getting with the way that the renewal of this program, the James Zadroga Act, is being treated with. And I know that Congress is trying to fight up against Planned Parenthood or government shutdown and everything along those lines. But to let this program run out even for a day is a tremendous insult to people who are true heroes and the people who are overseeing this program through Congress and through the administration are not even worthy of equal consideration of versus the heroes that this program is designed to care for. It's H.R. 1786 in the House and in the Senate, S-928. Contact your member of Congress. Make sure they get on board and make sure that this program does not sunset or even stall for a day because people's lives and the family's well-being are hinged on this program continuing without any break or any pause or worst-case scenario, even a expiration. So again, it's H.R. 1786 in the House, in the Senate, S-928. Learn more about this bill, this program, and the James the Droga Act, renew911health.org. Again, it's renew911health.org. We'll be joined this morning by the Health and Safety Officer for DC 37 of ASPE. That's part of the coalition makes up the Citizens for the Extension of the James the Droga Act. Gia Mejia, thanks so much for giving us the appreciation, the understanding of the importance of this program, and hopefully you listening right now will pick up the ball and do what's right to make sure this program stays intact for these heroes and their families. Gia, thanks again for being here this morning.
Thank you, Chris. I just wanted to make one last point here is that this is a national program. It's not, many people think it's all about New York, and it really is not just a New York issue. This is a national issue. And there are many respondents that came from out of state that are also going to be affected by the if the program is not reauthorized. So it is a national issue, and we need to focus on that too.